Bibles out, if you will, we're going to turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 31. Job chapter number 31. Once you arrive there, if you would stand with me, Job chapter 31. My sermon won't be lengthy because my announcements were so lengthy, but I want to help you tonight. And though I may not talk a long, long time, I'll talk long enough to make my point. I'm just sure of it. Job chapter 31, starting with verse number 1, it says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways, and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Look back at verse number 1 again. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. That's the title of my sermon tonight. Making a covenant with your eyes. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. The only way, Lord, this service and this sermon will turn out right is if you control it. If your Holy Spirit does the speaking, we sure will accomplish an eternal purpose. So, Father, might my voice just be a tool in your hand. Help us to submit our ears to the Holy Spirit so we hear right. Help me to speak right. And God, then we might, as a result, do right. Bless us tonight with thy presence. Keep us pure. Keep us moral and decent, please, in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? In other words, Job said, I'm going to be careful about that which I choose to look. I'm going to be careful what I think about. What a statement. Now, remember, Job was a great man. Job had an awful lot of success. Matter of fact, Job impressed God, and Job impressed Satan. Satan was looking to give somebody a once-over, be hard on him. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? God bragged to Satan about Job. Now, the way it turned out, I'd prefer God not to go around bragging on me. I'm not threatened by that. I'm nothing like Job was in his Christianity. But God did say, have you considered my servant Job? And Job did a good job of going through his trials and went through his hardships. But you realize this, I believe that Job was probably the most successful Christian on the face of the earth at that time. The way God put it, he said, Satan said, I've been up and down the earth, to and fro. God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? I think that means that God took a good long look at everybody on the face of the earth at that time and said, Satan, that guy right there, Job, probably the best guy we got going for us right now. Have you considered his Christianity? That's a big compliment. I would like to ask Job a question. I think Job was a success. I think Job was a good man. I think Job had a lot of victory in Job's life. So I'd ask Job, can you give me, could you give me, what's your trick? What's your secret, Job? Why is it that God would choose to point out your Christianity as an exemplary, a fine example? Why would that happen? And I think Job would say, well, I can tell you one thing that I've done. I made a covenant with my eyes. A covenant with my eyes. Job, can you explain that to me? Job would say, well, me and my eyes, we signed a contract. I decided that I didn't want to look at certain things. Job, how is it that you have become the kind of Christian that you have, that God would brag on you, and that the devil would see how fine a Christian you are. Job said, I made a contract with my eyes. I made a covenant with my eyes. We agreed about what they would look at and what they would not look at. That's very interesting. Now, I'll tell you all something. It might be a good idea that every Christian have a conversation with themselves and have a contract with your eyes. Now, I believe there were a lot of good things that Job looked at. I think in the contract that Job made with his eyes, I think Job probably made sure that he said, I'm going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to read the Word of God. I think Job looked at good things, and Job looked at wholesome things, and Job looked at true things. Job looked at pure things and honest things. I think Job looked at things of good report. I believe that that was a part of the contract that Job made with his eyes. So I think that when Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes, me and my eyes had a talk, and I said, eyes, there are going to be some things you're going to look at, and here's a list of the kind of things you're going to look at, but wait a minute, also on this contract, there's another portion of it as to what we're not going to look at. And eyes, we are not going to look at some things. There's some things that we are just not going to look at, because if we're going to keep our integrity, if we're going to keep our purity, if we're going to keep our morality, then we're going to have to guard ourselves against looking at those type things. First of all, may I say, Job would probably tell us, make a covenant with your eyes about looking wrongly at the opposite sex. Matthew 5:28 says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, I had some knucklehead said, well, if you've ever thought about lusted after a woman, you committed adultery. Said it's just the same thing if you went out and committed adultery. I said, that's stupid. It's not just the same thing. God's just trying to make you understand you're not supposed to be looking and lusting, and you're dead sure not to touch unless you're married. That's what God's saying there. Job said in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, you understand Job has connected the eyes and the thoughts here. What you look at, you're going to think about. What you think about, you probably end up looking at. But he has connected the eyes and the thoughts. And the very first place that he started with this covenant thing is, he said, I wanted to make sure my eyes were not looking at a maid. And he's talking about in a lustful way. He's saying, so let me say to everybody here, you might need to make a covenant with your eyes. I think all of us need to guard ourselves morally. Be clean. Be pure. Young people, if you're not married, let me tell you exactly what God demands of you. It's not just a casual suggestion. He demands that you stay virgin until the day you get married. That's what God demands. That's what the Scripture says. You say, but preacher, it's too late for that. Then you ought to be clean from here on out. If you're not married to someone, you should not be having a physical relationship of any sort with them. Period. And God is saying, protect yourself. Protect yourself. I want to say to everybody here, you need to make a covenant with your eyes. Covenant with your eyes about the opposite sex. Hey, don't you get caught into the pornography of this day and age. Don't you get caught into it. And there are people in here, if you can't say no to yourself, I would rather you didn't have the internet and have access to the internet at all if you can't keep yourself pure and clean. There's way too many people looking at bad things that they should not be looking at. You need to make a covenant with your eyes. And I'm talking about on the internet. And parents, you need to know, when they have access to the internet on their telephone, they don't have to be setting it as a computer screen to have access to pornography on their telephone. We just have to be careful. You watch out for the internet and the books and the things that you watch. Don't, and to everybody here, use your eyes correctly, even around the church. I don't think men ought to be checking out the women around the church. And I'm talking about investigating their figure and all of that sort of thing. Can't there be one place in the world where you can go and there can be some morality and cleanness and decency? Don't stare at their body. And let me say to everybody here, we're in tight quarters here in our church. And ladies, when you bend over, or you scoot around, or you move around, do it as modestly as you possibly can. But might I say to every man, if a lady finds herself in an embarrassing situation, look away. Look away. That's the right thing to do. Watch the nudity. And girls, don't dress to entice. Cover your body up. Cover your body up. If it's not for sale, don't put a for sale sign in the front yard and advertise it. Girls should not dress to entice. Learn to look away. Learn to run from looking at the wrong things. But Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I'm going to go to another point. These will go quickly. But I am going to say this. I believe that there's a show on television today called Friends with Benefits. You know what that is? Those are people that share sexual experiences. And it's just friendship. They've agreed to make an exchange. Let me make something very clear to you. That's out of hell. That's of the devil. It is wicked. It is vile. It is nasty. And it is wrong. And the sexual misconduct of our day and freedom is nasty. What you're supposed to do is keep yourself pure and clean. You get married, and then you're with that person. You don't have anybody outside your marriage, and you wait until you're married to come together. That's what the Bible teaches. And I know that's not the modern way of doing things, but we're not going to start doing the modern way of doing things. So there's got to be a morality in our country. Make a covenant with your eyes about the opposite sex. Number two, I think it'd be a good idea for some of you to make a covenant with your eyes about liquor. About liquor. Let me show you something that's in the Bible so you don't think this is Owensology. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 31 says, look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You know what it's teaching you? This verse is not, it's not just saying don't drink it. It said don't look at it. Now, you have a Bible? If you get a chance, could you see if Proverbs 23:31 is in your Bible? You say you're misinterpreting that. Well, wait a minute. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. It's talking about fermented. Don't even look at it. Say, I'd expect that out of you. You're so old-fashioned and straight-laced. Well, it gets worse, baby. No, you're not to be out there drinking it. But let me tell you, the Bible says don't even look at it. That's how bad liquor is to God. So, hey, your parents, you know, we have young people that will come to our church, and their parents don't come to church, and their parents don't, they're not saved. You can't expect lost people to live like saved people. You can't expect that. But let me tell you something. I'll warn you, young people, if there's beer and wine and liquor at home at your house, I wouldn't be sneaking a look. I dead sure wouldn't be sneaking a drink. But did you know that if you never look at it, you're probably never going to drink it? Same thing's true about the opposite sex. I don't know of anybody that goes into immorality without looking first. If you didn't look at it lustfully, you probably won't participate in something you shouldn't participate in. Do you know something? For years at one of the churches that I pastored, we had a Super Bowl party. And we would have church the night of the Super Bowl. We would record it. We had men that would then take that recording, and when church was over, the men would go to the gym and they would watch the Super Bowl. They would watch it on a big screen. We had rules. You couldn't tell everybody who won, and you couldn't be talking about. We'd go into that Super Bowl thing and watch the Super Bowl, and we had no idea who was winning, and we would have barbecued chicken and potato salad and sausages, and I mean, it was a great hog fest. And we'd watch that football game. But you know what we did? And Brother Young used to do this for me. We took every beer commercial, every cheerleader flaunting of her underclothes out of it. Well, I'd never allow that. You say, well, it's just a beer commercial. The Bible says we're not even to look at it. Not even to look at it. Not even to look at it. We used to take our children grocery shopping. We would not go down the aisle where the liquor was. You say, why? I didn't want my kids looking at it. I wouldn't go stare at it. you're apt to do it. Don't look at it. If you don't look at it, you probably won't think about it. If you probably won't look at it and think about it, you probably won't find yourself tasting it. So Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. He said, I told my eyes what they would look at. Your eyes are not to tell you what they want to look at. Your spiritual self, you're to say, my eyes are not going to look on that woman and lust after her, or that man and lust after him. So with the opposite sex, make a covenant with your eyes. In regard to making a covenant with your eyes, I'd probably make a covenant with your eyes about liquor. Number three, if I were you, I'd probably make a covenant with your eyes about riches becoming, having the wrong place in your life. Again, I'll read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5, it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Here God is saying, you better be careful setting your sight on just getting a bunch of money and just getting rich. I wish I could convince all of you of this. There's some here you wouldn't listen to me. It won't matter. But money won't make you happy. Money won't make you happy. Now, I think you ought to make money. Yeah, if you're a lazy rascal and you say, that's why I don't make any money. That's why I don't have a job. No, you're just lazy. You have to have money to pay your bills. We know that. And you hear me say this all the time. I think you ought to be working at work. I think you ought to be, I think in most cases we ought to be moving up. I mean, we ought to be improving ourselves and we ought to be working hard. I believe in all that. But you don't make money your primary purpose in life. And I'll just tell you, folks, you better be careful. I've watched some awful good people fall in love with money. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the root of all evil. Watch your covetousness in life. Don't spend all your time seeking money. Hey, I'll help you if you'll listen to me. Look, if you and your wife or you and your husband can afford a $150,000 home, can I recommend that you don't go driving on Sunday afternoon where all the $500,000 homes are? Hey, if you can afford a $500,000 home, if your income allows for a $500,000 home, give money to the church. No. Honestly, look, if your income accommodates a $500,000 home, then when you take your drive in the country, go look at the $500,000 homes. Fine. But the problem is you got people that can afford a $100,000 home, trying to get them a $500,000 home. And what happened is they went out. And they looked. Do you know what they're going to do when you go to the car lot? You're going to say, I got about $4,000 to spend. They're going to say, I've got just the car for you. It's right over here, $7,000. And your brain goes, wait. I just told you. Four. What, this one, this is seven. And if they can get you to look at it, they have a better chance to get you in that baby. This one's made for you. This car is perfect for you in every way except for you can't afford it. What's the big deal? Look, we need to make a covenant with our eyes about proper our finances. Springtime. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago about spring fever. Oh my. We see it. We want it. Don't cause yourself. You know, earlier I talked about lusting the opposite sex. Can I tell you? We can lust cars. We can lust clothes. Look, if you can't afford a mink coat, don't go look at mink coats. Now, if you can afford a mink coat, go look at one. You say, oh, I can afford one on the 50-year layaway plan. Well, that mink won't smell good after 50 years. Something on it's surely going to rot and go bad. Look, we lust houses. We lust cars. We lust clothing. There are all sorts of things. Look, one thing I don't do, my wife will tell you, if I don't have the money for it, I don't tempt myself with it. I do not tempt myself with it. I want to live where God put me. I want to live where God's put me financially. And I'm not afraid to move up. Now, look, you all need to know something. Preachers, if you find a preacher, he's out there chasing money all the time. Everybody looks down on him. So I don't get the chance to say, well, I'm just going to make a lot of money. That's what I'm going to do. Let me tell you, for your sake, you better be careful. I think you ought to want to achieve and accomplish. And I want you to have good things. I still believe this is America. I still believe you could own a house. And I still believe you could own a car. And I still believe you could have shoes and socks and the whole nine yards. You can have it. But let me tell you, America is in pretty bad shape right now because of their covetousness. Because America's eyes seen it and they wanted it and they took it and they couldn't afford it. And now they're in a mess. Money ruins people. I know people that they choose money over serving God. Now, I realize that our jobs, there will be times our jobs will hinder us from doing certain things. But if it gets to the point that your job gets you to the point where you can't serve God, if you're working more than you're in church, there's a problem. That's too much. You got to guard yourself. Hey, and let me say to everybody in here, when you go to college, get an education, further your education, but be careful. I wouldn't pick what you do just to make money. I talked to a nurse the other day, and I told her, I said, you know something, I'm glad that the occupation that you chose helps people. Helping people is rewarding. Just making money is all about you. That's self-centered, and that never turns out well. Make a covenant. I asked Job, hey Job, what made you maybe the best Christian on the face of the earth that time? Then I stumbled across Job 31:1. He said, I had a talk with my eyes. I told my eyes they were not going to lust. I was going to be appropriate with the opposite sex. I told my eyes. Now I'm not even going to look on the liquor. Not just drink. I'm not going to do that, but I'm not even going to look at the stuff. I told my eyes that riches were not going to be more important than right. And I'm not going to let money possess me. So I'm not going to let my eyes go somewhere that my mind will want to follow, and sooner or later my hands will be corrupted with what I seen and what I thought about. I'm finished, but I want to add one extra little point here. You might want to make a covenant with your eyes about anything that tends to be your weakness. Maybe there's something that when you look at it, you just know it pulls you backwards. It pulls you down. I try to get with the Lord about the things that I teach and preach. And honestly, when I came to this, the Lord said, you remember. And I was taken back. In my hometown where I grew up, we had an AMP market. Y'all remember the old AMP markets? How many of you remember green stamps? Y'all remember S&H green stamps? Okay. Well, thank y'all. Y'all are so excited about this. Uriah, come on. He has no idea. Okay. Well, I had a fella in my hometown. And he had gotten saved, and he started coming to our church. And one day we were in a conversation, and there was a billboard, and on that billboard was a picture of someone advertising, I think it was Jack Daniels or something like that, and I looked away, and he said, what, you don't have to worry, just because it's up there on a picture doesn't mean that you're going to drink it. I said, I just choose not to look at it. I just don't want to look at it. I told him, I said, there have been times that I've changed my route to get to work because there was a big billboard with a half-naked woman on it, and I wasn't going to look at it. And I didn't want to drive by there, so I just changed my route. He said, you're silly. And then, after we talked about that, I told him, I said, let's go by the AMP. I need to pick up something on the way home. He said, no, I don't want to go there. I said, well, we can go to the Marsh supermarket if you want. He said, I'd prefer it. I didn't think anything of it. We went to Marsh. I got what I needed to get. I was going to drop him off at home. I said, may I ask you, what's the problem with AMP? He said, that's where I used to buy my drugs. He said, I don't want to go anywhere near it. Now, it's not AMP's fault. They were not selling him his drugs. But that's where he met, in the parking lot, the guy that he was buying his pot off of. He said, I hate that place. I hate that parking lot. He said, about destroyed me. And I told him, I said, you know what? Then I'd shop at Marsh. I don't know everything about you. But can I tell you all something? If you love the Lord, there might be some things that you just need to make a covenant with your eyes about. And maybe they would not be sinful to me. But to you, there's a problem. There's just something connected to that thing. It could cause you to backslide. Do you know that you and I are not only to give God what He commands, but we ought to give God anything that might hinder our relationship with Him? What should you not look at? Where should you not go? And though I might not have stumbled onto it with the scripture that I gave about liquor and the opposite sex and riches, where it makes it very clear you need to make a covenant with your eyes, you might just be wise in having a conversation with your eyes and saying, to anybody else, that right there wouldn't be wrong. But to me, that could pull me down. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I asked Job, why is it, do you think, that you were complimented by God and truthfully by the devil, probably the best Christian on the face of the earth? Could you give me one little hint on how that was accomplished? I believe Job would have humbly said, one day I had a conversation with my eyes. We signed a formal contract. I told my eyes what they would look at and what they would not look at. I think it worked for Job. Love that scripture. When I found it, it just jumped off the page at me. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I think I probably ought to have a conversation with my eyes. Folks, and if you keep your eyes from seeing it, you'll keep your mind from thinking about it, which will keep your body from doing it, your hands from doing it, your feet from going there. It may be that there are people in this room that need to say to yourself tonight, I need to have a conversation with my eyes. Who here would raise your hand and say, that's what I need to do. I need to have that conversation. I need to talk to my eyes. Great. You may put your hands down. Who here would take a moment, and I really want you to take a moment for this, who here would take a moment and think about it? Maybe there's something that would not be sinful to me, but to you it's dangerous. To you to look at it, to think on it, could cause you grief. It could cause you to backslide. Think about it for a moment. What is it that maybe you ought to say to yourself, I just need not look at that anymore. I shouldn't associate with that because I know where I came from. I know what that particular thing could do to me. What is your A&P grocery store? And who here could raise your hand and say, I believe there's something that I need in my own special way to be extra cautious of it, and God has spoken to my heart about it tonight. Would you raise your hand? And you may lower your hand. If you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to come. If for some reason you're here tonight and you're not saved, come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Christians, your pastor loves you. I want you safe. I want you pure. I want you clean. Make a covenant with your eyes. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Children, do you need a moment at the altar? Teenager, do you need a moment at the altar? Men, ladies, what is it that you should not look at? What should you tell yourself? I'm not looking at it. I can't look at that anymore. I've got to stop looking at that. That's going to hurt me. And maybe not even sinful to me. Hey, and there's something in my life that would not necessarily be sinful to you, but it would be to me. Thank you. I made a covenant with mine eyes. I'm not going to look at the opposite sex the wrong way. And may I say, both men and women, both, keep yourself moral and clean, and don't be exposing yourself. I think people's eyes ought to be kept clean, but I think people ought to keep themselves covered up. I didn't preach against drinking liquor tonight. I preached against looking at the liquor, which will keep you from drinking it, because God said, don't even look at it. If you're going to buy an engagement ring and you've only got $1,000, I wouldn't be going and looking at the $4,000 ones. You can be dead sure your flesh can talk you into doing something that would not be good for your wallet. But if you can afford a $4,000 engagement ring, fine. I'm not trying to keep you from the good life. I'm trying to keep you from the stupid life. One more time through the song, please, and then we'll be done. I really wish somebody in here tonight would virtually have a conversation with your eyes. There are websites that you should not be looking at. There are blogs. There are people that you communicate on Facebook that you should not be communicating with because of what it's doing to your Christianity. Tell your eyes what they can and cannot do. Sign a contract.